Wednesday, August 12th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in the book of Psalms with Psalm 84, with part two of yesterday's message titled, The Joy of God's House.
The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. I need that. You need that. And He will withhold. Look at this promise of the Psalm. He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts you. We are so blessed this morning. In the valley of Baca, the Lord has looked upon the face of His anointed and blessed him. We will still be praising. Beloved, that is a life worth living.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Love you. There's a beauty about this that he's describing. And it wasn't because so much the temple, it wasn't because so much the building. He says here very clearly, my heart cries out for the living God. The worship of you, O Lord, is lovely. It thrills my soul. This is my passion in life. I found that this is the thing that means the most in life, is the ability to come before you and to be in your presence. It's the most satisfying thing I've ever done with my life. You hear it? It's the most satisfying thing I've ever done with my life. This isn't the only place this is emphasized, by the way. Psalm 27 is also another psalm. And most of you love Psalm 27, I'm sure. It's a beautiful psalm, but it says right in the middle of that psalm, one thing that I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. You see what's being described? That ultimately this was the calm from the storm. This was the most enjoyable, peaceful, blessed thing he could do. And so he describes this experience as that of fainting for the courts. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He gets to come, and we'll talk about what's really happening here in a second, but he gets to come in response to what's happening and express himself to say thank you to his Lord and to with his mouth sing praises to his God. If there's anything that needs to be reformed today, it's our understanding of worship. And I mean understanding of what it is. We're so into the battles, and these have been going for years, of contemporary and traditional. And have we really listened in that whole discussion to the meaning of worship? The meaning of worship. For many people today, they love to quote Jesus, and they love to say that we no longer worship on this mountain or on that mountain, but in spirit and in truth. And that has become for people a sort of license to say that we no longer need the church and we no longer need to come and worship. It's been the sort of common excuse that we get. And we hear that since the church is not a building, amen, it's a people, I'm the church. And this thought that has prevailed in our day in Christianity has a sound of wisdom. It has a form of godliness, I suppose, but it leads to something very dangerous. Very dangerous. There's a reason God gave a command in the New Testament. We know the command. There's a reason God gave the command that we should not neglect the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. We know that that is a command. We live in that time. We live in that time. But I suggest this morning that people are pining away spiritually because of this great excuse not to come. What the psalmist is describing, he's not talking about places of stone or wood. He's ultimately here speaking of the blessings that come from the presence of the Lord, the blessings that flow from where the Lord is and where the Lord has chosen to be. There was an understanding that when God's people gathered in the Old Testament for worship on the Sabbath, there was something that was happening that you could not get anywhere else. And that's such an important point this morning. There was something happening that you could not get anywhere else. And that's what the psalmist here is describing. You'll notice in verse 2 that his flesh is crying out for God here because God had come and chosen to dwell. That's where the tabernacle dwelling is, in that place. And you know, that's when the church gathers today, what is happening. God Himself is with us. You know, we sung out a minute ago Psalm 92, and that is the only, notice in the description there before, that's the only psalm where it says, this is a song for the Sabbath. And I've often thought, that's an amazing thing that the Lord would do that. Why did He want that communicated to us? There's something about that psalm, if you listen to it, of what it's also saying to us. They would sing when they came into the Lord's house. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto your name, O Most High. To show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. In the song for the Sabbath, they would come in the morning and they would come at night. I wonder, have we understood that? We were one of the last churches in Linden that had an evening service. Everyone dropped it. And one of the things I never wanted to do from the pulpit is to pound the pulpit and say, you need to be here Sunday nights. I struggled with that. I never did that. I had a problem a little bit with that. I didn't want to pound because I didn't want to create a joyless pride in what we were doing. And I was so thankful for the way it was done at the installation service. Forcing worship seems to be one of the most unnatural things to do, doesn't it? In light of this psalm. Does the Lord command us to worship? Absolutely. But the Lord always wanted from His people us to call it a what? A delight. The Lord always wanted from you to call this the great delight of your life. And I was afraid if I ever pounded that people would become very self-righteous, the ones who were there, and then take the CD and hand it to those who weren't there. You know? You think we've missed something today? You think we're struggling today for a reason? I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. Why did the Lord want us to delight in this? There's a few reasons. But in light of this psalm, there is a power. There is a power given to us that we can't find elsewhere. God set this up this morning, and, you know, we would have never dreamed this up. I could have never dreamed it up. I wouldn't be here, you know. But He set this up. He called this for you to come and to remove all distraction, to give you what we call the means of grace, to feed your souls, to strengthen you, to help you. And what does He do for you? Why did God's people love to gather and come to His house for worship? From the beginning, right out of the fall, in Genesis, we read a little statement that men began to call on the name of the Lord. They gathered together, symbolic of coming out of the world, and they called. Why? Because they had a need. And now you see how this is tying into last Sunday with John 13. Listen to this psalm. One thing I've asked, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Psalm 27. James Boyce once said, there is something to be experienced of God in church that is not quite so easily experienced elsewhere. Otherwise, why have church? If only instruction is what we need, get it by a tape or a book. If it's only fellowship, have a home gathering and a study. There is something to be said, I love this statement, for the sheer physical singing and the sitting in pews and the looking at the pulpit and the gazing upon the Word of God and to hear it expounded and to taste the sacrament in that atmosphere that God has set apart for you, that is spiritually beneficial. This is where gospel is announced. This is where Christ is heralded. This is where He is set before you, that He has died for all of our sins, that He has risen from the dead, raised for our justification, that you and your journeys might be assured of His love. You need that? Now, this is where the psalm is overwhelming to ponder, because I want you to see what He does at this moment. Look at verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those, He says, who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. I'm imagining here for a minute that during the work week, the psalmist is looking up to the tabernacle, and a bird has the ability to fly right up there. And it's made a nest right on the corner of the tabernacle. Now, I'm speculating a little bit, but it's a good speculation. He's made a nest right at the corner of the tabernacle, and the psalmist is looking at that and he's thinking, wow, that little bird gets to fly up there, right up to the Lord. He gets to come. And he's understanding a little bit through that imagery of what's happening in worship, where she may lay her young. You bring your children, and we get to come into the house of the Lord, and we praise Him. You know, sparrows are almost worthless birds. Jesus talked about sparrows, didn't He? I wonder if He had Psalm 84 in mind when He says, not even one falls to the ground apart from His will. You know, He feeds them. They're worthless birds. The swallow is a restless bird. Restless, restless, restless. Those things hit you when you're playing golf like you wouldn't believe. You know who wrote this psalm? Under the inspiration of the Spirit. The sons of Korah. You know who they were? They were doorkeepers in the Lord's house. They had the most insignificant role in the kingdom. They were not the great ones among the Levites. And they could rightly be called the janitors of the Lord's house. And the psalmist is thinking here, he's thinking, I'm overwhelmed to think and to ponder for a minute that in the eyes of my God, He gives a place to the sparrows. He gives a place to the swallows that He would consider the janitors in the world. I don't know how much this overwhelms you, but here's the heart of it. God considers the nothings of this world. God considers the weak of this world. God takes delight in the nobodies of this world. And what overwhelmed Him about this God is, and we see it here in the simple childlike faith from a janitor, the sons of Korah, these nobodies were moved to think that God loved them and that God would care that they come in His presence. While the great men of the world, the kings, the mighty men, the commanders, the rich men, are out living it up in the world. You see, this is the kind of heart the Lord is after. He doesn't need our worship, beloved. He doesn't need you here today. But you need to be here. And when we create an environment where we feel forced to come, I've never understood how that fits Psalm 110. They'll be willing servants in the day of His power. When we create that kind of environment, what you create is a whole bunch of people who draw near with the mouth, but the heart is far from Him. We don't want that. We never want that. We don't want that in the URC churches in general. That would be awful. To make it so forced and so compelled that is what we're actually ended up doing in worship. That's what we've done. Create that kind of burdensome yoke of bondage to think that's what worship is. God says, here's where I bless. Here's where I give blessing. In fact, the whole thing that He describes at this point in vivid contrast is how hard this world is. And that's the beginning of the sermon this morning. Can you imagine facing these sorrows alone? Every pastor will tell you, you go into hospitals and you minister to God's people, but next door, you'll see people dying. And I can think of a whole bunch of them who have absolutely no hope approaching their death. Right now, Darcy's uncle is in Canada and he's dying. And we have been telling him a lot about the Lord for a long time, pleading with him to come and to hear the Word and believe. And he's one of the wealthiest men we know. He's proud. he will not listen. And as he's approaching his death, I see a strong, grown man weeping. He has absolutely no hope coming to his death. And then comes hell. See the contrast? The Lord says, I've got something for you. It describes what happens to someone who's truly been satisfied by Christ. He describes a life of blessing. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, verse 5. Notice that. Whose heart is set and know where they're going. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Don't you love that? Each one appears before God in Zion. So do you get that? The sons of Korah would say, we really want to be in your house worshiping you, but we're not home yet. We know that we're on a pilgrimage. We're going somewhere. We're passing through the valley of Baca. What's that? It's the valley of tears. It was a hot valley south of Jerusalem, and it brings to mind, you know, Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, sin has brought pain, sin has brought sorrow, and you understand now the point of the psalm. He's saying, I get to go in the midst of this valley, I get to go up to the house of the Lord, and I get to receive spiritual satisfaction and blessing, and I get to delight myself in the Lord, and there I taste a power and grace like I've never known. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to go back into the world during the week. At times, the burdens of it are unbearable. I see things. I feel things. I feel like giving up. I feel depressed at times. But when I get to come to worship, what the Lord does for me is give strength. Look at verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. This is what God has done in the life of His people. There's something about them that makes them, as they go through the dry, barren wilderness, a water pool. That's what you are. They go from strength to strength. You notice God describes that? You go from strength to strength to strength until finally you appear before God in Zion. New Testament will go a little further and say, we've received grace for grace, glory to glory. This is the path of the believer, heaping upon us this. This is what God does for you. Now, this is the life. This is the fulfilled life. You say, well, how do I receive that kind of life? If I haven't really known it and appreciated it, did you notice verse 8? Did you catch verse 8? O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, God of rebels, by the way. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Who is that? Who is the Messiah? Who is God's anointed? You know who's sitting at the right hand? It's His Messiah. It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? And at that right hand are pleasures forevermore, Psalm 16. Why? Give us this kind of faith, O Lord, to trust You and enjoy You, because at Your right hand, there, look upon the face of that one. Why would He say that? Because it was the Lord Jesus Christ who came here for us and had no place to lay His head. He had no home. He went through the valley of tears and He wept. And He came into this wilderness. He came into this place of curse. And what did He do? He made it a spring, didn't He? He watered it. He saved. And He's saying, all of these blessings come to you this morning because one has come and one's walked this in this valley for you and died for you and loves you. And when we pray to Him, the Father looks upon His Son and the blessings flow right to us as we come to Him in worship and experience and receive that grace. My prayer is, give me that life of faith, O Lord. Is that your prayer? Give me that life. Look upon Him and give me that life. For... And what a way to go forward. A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Young people, it's not better out there. Don't buy the lie. It's not better. It's a tent of wickedness. Don't go there. Why would you go there when the Lord is saying, when you can come here, He'll give you grace and glory and He'll shield your life. He'll cover your life. He'll protect you and hold you. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. He'll still be praising the Lord. I'd rather be a janitor in the Lord's house than to dwell out there. I can't help but hear in closing this morning a rebuke to our generation. Isn't it sad that the Old Testament psalmist would describe this, and yet today we're still struggling to find the pearl? We're still struggling to find meaning and joy and life. He is saying here, rebuking this generation that regards the worship of God as some kind of chore, a hard duty, of people who would readily give themselves to a ball game rather than come and enjoy the Lord. Popcorn's not better. Not. The Lord has His food for you. And when His house is lightly esteemed, it's no wonder you're going to go through life. And what kind of way do you think you're going to go through life? You're going to be a miserable person. You're going to have no perspective through life. You're going to have no joy. When the hard time hits, you think you're going to know and understand? This is why He's saying, enjoy this. Learn Christ. Know Him. And He'll bless that. How can I have this life? I love what the other psalmist says. Blessed is the one you choose to bring near, to dwell in your courts. When you do that, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. And you see, now you can understand the end of the psalm. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. I need that. You need that. And He will withhold. Look at this promise of the psalm. He will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts you. We are so blessed this morning. In the valley of Baca, the Lord has looked upon the face of His anointed and blessed us. We will still be praising. Beloved, that is a life worth living. Amen? Let's pray. O Lord our God, we are so grateful for the psalm that You've given to us this morning. That You've nourished us with words of grace. That You have fed us with the true food. That You've shown us our Savior. And that You give strength in the valley of tears. Some of our brothers and sisters are in tears right now. Some of them are hurting. Strengthen them all the way to Zion. And Lord, renew our whole understanding of worship, that as we get to come in the morning and at night, the privilege to come and to feed upon Your almighty and powerful Word. Thank You, and our prayer is, O God of Jacob, look on the face of Your anointed and bless Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's all the time that we have for you today. We thank you for joining us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you join us next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Till next time, God bless.